Well, God bless you all. Wonderful to be with you this morning. And what I want to share with you this morning is the result of a number of influences. And most of them godly influences. So I trust this will be a godly sharing for you. And some of those influences came from different sources. One from Dr. Steve Carter, who's in Illinois, Chicago area, and he's with the Align Ministry, Bob Carter Ministry. He did a wonderful teaching that really touched my heart. I'm going to share some of the things that he shared. And then also some recent teachings by Barney and our own Daniel Wood. Really thankful for that we could be away and know that the work of the ministry here was in good hands. So I thank you, Daniel, and all of you guys, the Woods, for hosting fellowship and just everybody working together to be their best. So, yeah. So also some influences was hanging out with my two grandsons, especially the older one, and that's Cameron. He's 12 years old, and I remember when I was 12 years old, and it was at that time in my life that I was shocked beyond anything I could, you know, grasp onto in my life, because at that time, we were watching, and you've probably heard me share this story, but we were watching on television Disneyland, and the subject was Futureland. It was some 200, 300 years in the future. We'd have cities in the ocean and all this stuff, and the realization hit me. I won't be here then. I'll be dead. And, you know, as a kid, you don't think about life and death and purpose of life and God and these kind of things. I mean, yeah, you get exposed to this stuff, but you wonder, you know, what's going on here. And the realization just was so stark to my mind that I cried all night long. And I didn't tell my parents, and I was just, it was one of the worst nights I've ever had, because I didn't know the answer. I didn't know God. I didn't know what was right, what was true. And so from that point on, as life went on and time went on, I searched out different sources of living life, of who God might be, from different religions, different philosophies. It was quite a task. And it wasn't until I was 20 years old that I found the true God and His wonderful Word. That His Word fit, it was true, there was no doubt about it, that the Bible has God's Word in it, the true God, the author of life, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so, you know, my heart went out to him knowing he's 12 years old and he's a smart kid. This guy is really brainy. And so we had some good talks. We had some, I was real thankful that I could have that time with him to share some things about our Heavenly Father and the greatness of life. And he expressed and said things that indicated to me that he was a little confused of what he really believed. You know, his parents obviously share the word with him and they pray, and he's part of that. But in the depth of his heart, you know, I know he's still searching a little bit. So in light of all this, I want to share some things with you, and we're going to go to Psalms 139 to start. Who is God, and how am I connected with Him? And how does he feel about me? You know, I'm just one in billions of people. How does he feel about me? And who is he? And how can I connect with him? And how does he care for me? He sang this song, "He Cares for Me." He truly does. And how does he care for us? So we're going to start in Psalm 139. And right there in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Isn't that something? You think God cares about us? You think God has a special purpose for us? He does. He does, big time. Phenomenal how God cares so much for us. And so many people are hurting, seeking for a connection with something that works, that's true, that's right. Well, God is true, he's right, and he loves us. He cares for us. He thinks about us. You know, sometimes you get a little lonely and you wonder what's going on in life. Well, God is thinking about you. His thoughts are like the sand of the sea. Have you ever counted a handful of sand? Oh, my goodness. So we've got quite a God that loves us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, when we talk about life and living life, what is our history? And, you know, we all have unique backgrounds, obviously. But from one perspective, this section in Ephesians really describes the history of every believer, every Christian believer. And I think you'll see what I mean when we read this. So chapter 2 of Ephesians, okay? And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Every person is dead. That's all they have to look forward to, is death in the future. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, I've been there. I've walked there. We've all walked in the path according to the course of this world. And there's a lot of courses out there, right? A lot of philosophies, a lot of ways to live life. Among whom, verse 3, also we all had our conversation. This word conversation is our manner of living. Our manner of living, our lifestyle. We've all been there in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Hey, we all have desires. I have desires. We all think about stuff and want to have this and have that and have understanding. And we've been there, right? And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Why are humans so ugly? Why are people killing each other around the world? You'd think man would be smart enough to put it out. But millions of people die just because of hatred and ill feelings and misunderstandings. And oh, man, it's just ugly. But with God, life is beautiful and true and right. Well, what's the first word in chapter 2, verse 4? But God. God enters the scene here. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Jeannie, right on what she was saying. I don't know if you knew what I was going to share. I don't think so. But man, oh man, his great love wherewith he loved us. God loved us. Even when we were what? Dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive, us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are at the right hand of God. That's where he sees us. That's the mindset that God has about us. Now, is that pretty close, being close to God, connected? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. They have raised us up together, made us sit together. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Boy, there's a time coming. Look out where his kindness, his love, his exceeding riches of his grace will be revealed. Fantastic. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, believing. You had to believe. You had to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord in my life. And God, you raised him from the dead. I believe that. Well, if you do, you're born again of God's Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Saved from what? The wrath of the ugly life the world is living. And to have that eternal life with God seated in the heavenlies. Isn't that fantastic? Did we finish that? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He can't work for it. For we are his workmanship. And this word workmanship is masterpiece. Okay, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have the privilege now to walk in the greatness of who we are in Christ and all this great love that we have within us that God has given us, this connection to him seated in the heavenlies. That's why it's so, so important, our identity in Christ, that we recognize who we are. Do we talk to ourselves, like Jeannie was saying, and say, hey, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the Most High. Everybody else might put us down, but God lifts us up. Seated in the heavenlies. Man, oh man, I mean, this is just too big. I mean, really, it's just too big. I've read this so many times, and it's just so big. So real. So grateful that God has done this. There's a verse, chapter 1 here in Ephesians, that when again, I've read this so many times, but I see this and it just blows my mind that God would so think of us in this manner. In verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12, I mean, we could read this whole chapter and it'll blow your mind, but just 1 and 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory. God's glory is in you and I as born-again ones, as His children. Man, we are to the... He brags about it. You know, to Michael and... Who's the other angel up there?
Gabriel.
Yeah, look at all these believers. They're to the praise of my glory. That's who we are. So many times we shortchange ourselves, don't we? and don't see us as big as God sees us. Yeah. Okay, a couple more sections here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. When we were up in Fremont, we went over, saw our other son James and his family, and went to a fellowship with Pete and Judy Coates. They were hosting it. Pete is the one that put together this guy. He's like Steve Jobs. Here's the big computer guy. Jobs and some of these other guys. Yeah, Bill Gates. I mean, he's like that. And he put together this application, Bible app, Parallel Plus, Bible.org. Fantastic. Just the best Bible app that I've seen. And great guy. So he does the home fellowship. And so we were there with the kids and James and family and other believers and stuff. And one of the believers who shared this in Ecclesiastes, which I thought was kind of neat perspective. So let me get there. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now, verse 1, chapter 12, Ecclesiastes, right before Song of Solomon. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few. What he's, I'm not going to get into the details, but she shared how this relates to parts of the body, the human body here. The grinders are like your teeth. Shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they're few. When you get older, I mean, I know I got fewer teeth now than I did when I was younger. The grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyes. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. And this is its ears, I think. That's what she shared. Shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding, well, I think that's the ears, the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. You know, not doing too well here. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. And the almond tree relates to gray hair. Some of us can relate, huh? Shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, which is death, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth, that's our body, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And if you've read the previous chapters, it's all about vanity, emptiness. Nothing really makes sense. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now, the goads are little pointed points on sticks that they would get the animals to move along. They would goad them, see? This is what the preacher was doing with the words. Okay. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, or reverence God is what that means, of course. Reverence God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole duty of man is just to do God's word, which is a real treat for us as born again ones. Really is. But let's go to Hebrews. I'm going to close here in Hebrews chapter 13. Hey, does God care for you? Does he love you? Has he made you very, 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 very special? Yes, yes. And so we need this. Confess that and be that. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of living, your lifestyle be without covetousness. You know, gimme, 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 gimme. And be content with such things as you have. Well, for us, we've got eternal life, Christ in us, a relationship with God Almighty. Be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No. And this is, you know, in the Aramaic, the expression here, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, is at the highest, what would you call it? We use adjectives to make something big, greater, greatest, right?
Superlative.
Mm-hmm. That's what this is. It's like triple or I will never, never, never leave thee nor never, never, never forsake thee. Just God makes a very, very strong point so that we may boldly say what? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because we've got God as our Father, he's our helper, and he's never, never, never going to leave us nor forsake us. We heard that in the manifestations in the form. So, I hope I've cleared this up for you, how we are connected with God Almighty in such a wonderful, beautiful way. And He's the one that did it. He's the one that desired you and me. And so we have the privilege of having the best relationship possible with God Almighty. And we're a product of His love and grace, okay? So, Father, thank you for your love and grace and what you have done through your Son, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, to pay the price so that we can be yours forevermore. Thank you how much you do love us and care for us. And I pray that we can, in the days ahead, walk for you and just be our best for you, because you are your best for us. So we love you, Father, and we praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen.